All right, thank you, everyone. Moving on to the next presentation, we have Tigo Cyber. We're going to talk a little bit about the rebranding, but let me give you the company description before we get started. Delivers AI-driven threat intelligence and managed security solutions that help security teams detect, understand, and respond to threats faster. Tigo's launched Visual Agent, AI Agent, which is the next generation MSSP operating at the intersection of human vigilance and agentic AI. I'll let you unpack that and explain that in the presentation here. But Bobby, I'll let you guys want to start with introductions of yourself, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the rebranding so investors know what's going on.
Yeah, glad to be here. My name is Bobby Michelson, CEO and CFO of Tigo Cyber. As you mentioned, we are undergoing a transition to a rebrand, which will be Visual Agent. Visual Agent is really where human vigilance meets the precision and speed of agentic AI to cut down the mean time to conclusion for security events. And that's really where we're heading, and building on what we had of high fidelity threat intelligence, now introducing that into a much larger, more holistic play with managed security, and now layering in the agentic AI to expedite the MTTC, or mean time to conclusion, but also reducing the overall costs of getting to a conclusion. That's really the next chapter for Tigo Cyber, or like I said, the rebranded Visual Agent. And I also have Mark here with me.
Hi, Mark Porter. I'm the Chief Revenue Officer of the Visual Agent subsidiary and run services business for the last 26 years in private and public markets, and really excited about where we're going in the next iteration here.
Yeah, I just wanted to start with, you know, we talked about the beginning of the business description, but help investors understand what that does. What is the problem you're solving for? What's the technology? And then maybe we'll get a little bit more about broader AI.
Well, either way.
The thing about cybersecurity is there's a number of problems that are out there. We've got technological problems, and we've taken an approach over the years that technology is not actually the solution. It is the problem. The more technology you put into an enterprise, the bigger the challenges that you face in securing it, because the technology itself is not inherently secure. It's actually the exploit, right? You can exploit people or the technology. The other problem is that when you get into managing cybersecurity beyond the tool set, we don't have enough people. They also look at things and they're prone to errors. They're prone to fatigue. It's very hard to operate a cybersecurity operations center. It's extremely hard. They're also very expensive because of that demand issue. So when you look at some of the things that we solve day to day, there's really three challenges that we have solutions for. One is in the legacy Tigo solution is around threat intelligence. Takes multiple threat intelligence feeds, takes a lot of the noise out of the system, denoises, dedupes, and brings out high fidelity, but brings it in a single endpoint. So there's a convenience factor, and the fidelity factor matters because it allows for better decision making. So that's one of the challenges we solve. The other challenges that the business solves today is we have a managed detection and response business that has 200 or so channel partners, 100 or so actively billing, and about 1,500 actual end users. So we're solving problems for them every day by actually securing their enterprises, working with our partners and doing that. That's a huge problem. That's got massive upside in terms of revenue, profitability, et cetera. But with Visual Agent and the agentic AI agents, which we've been testing and actually going to production next week, we're extremely excited about it. They'll be in production in human in the loop next week, and we expect to run them that way through the end of the fourth quarter, at which point certain pieces of it will start to move more autonomous, but you have to do that in a progression. What the problem that the agentic AI solution solves is not only does it make the managed detection and response business better and more scalable, managed detection and response business gives us a competitive edge because we have the data. We own the data that's coming in all day, every day. And that's helping us solve the biggest problem, which is a global shortage in the workplace of managing these tools. And what there's plenty of, every tool in the cybersecurity space leverages AI and machine learning to some degree. It's just been going on forever. So they continue to evolve. But what you see is each manufacturer of tools builds a copilot. If you use Microsoft 365, you have a copilot. It's basically useless, but it's out of band. You can ask it to do stuff, and it'll tell you, well, I can't do that because I don't have access to this, that, or the other. By the way, if it doesn't tell you that, you need to talk to your IT people because your permissions are way too loose. So you don't want that thing accessing everything. So when you look at the reason that they have to do it, it's because the product's been baked over the years and built. And if I wanted to put that in line, so to speak, it would be problematic because I'd have to rework my code base very substantially. If you look at the era of agentic AI, where you have, in our case, a large data lake, I can build agents around that data lake that are trained in cybersecurity context. So I can use small language models that are more efficient. I don't need to know everything in the world. I need to know cybersecurity context. You can use LLMs for interfaces on human, what a human might say to it or prompt it. But at the end of the day, when you look at the next evolutionary leap, we're building these agents to manage tools and manage cybersecurity, not to embed into a specific tool, but to handle the problem that we have, which we just don't have enough humans to do this at scale. This is a huge global problem. It's estimated in the U.S. alone, we're 500 to 3 million short, depending on who you listen to, in terms of actual people. Right? So for us, from a revenue stream, as we bake this out and continue to feed the models, they get more efficient literally every second of the day as they're being managed and trained. And the scalability of that part of the solution is virtually unlimited.
So we'll take it to a higher level than that even. The core of the problem is cyber crimes is the third largest industry on the planet, estimated to be $10.5 trillion this year. The cybersecurity industry is $200 billion this year. So cybersecurity needs to get smarter. And that's what we're doing with the agentic AI.
Who's the customer?
For us, our customers that we directly deal with are MSP or managed service provider, your IT guy, right? Small business, they know him. Well, let me call my IT guy. The end user is those small to mid-sized businesses all the way up to large enterprise.
So the sale, and that's where the sale is then, is into the, and this is obviously small, medium-sized businesses being the target market for you guys?
No, I would not say that. So in the managed detection and response, we, as Bobby said, we have from small to mid-size on up. We believe small to mid-size, we service the small customers because it's part of our mission drive. They need it worse than enterprise and have less resources. And if you're a small business out there, we hear this all the time, well, I'm not a target. That's total BS. There's only two types of companies in the United States, those that have been breached by the Chinese and those that know they've been breached by the Chinese. And if you're in the latter, I promise you, when we look, we find stuff, you just do a dark web scan and you'll see leakage all over the place. It's horrific. So from a customer set, enterprise customers are far more profitable. They're easier to manage. And because of the way all the tools work and because of all of the AI at every level of the process, they normalize faster and they get more efficient the longer you own that network, so to speak, because they see it day in, day out. So the tools just get more efficient. Therefore, your customers get more profitable. We have customers that support really sensitive global transportation networks, logistics for the airlines, some airlines themselves. We have a lot of state and local government, K-12. Again, not the most profitable market, but you want to talk about a market that desperately needs it. They have no people to do the jobs because they can't afford to keep them in seats. So today, it's every business in America of just about every size. If you get outside the Fortune 100, even the Fortune 500, most of them are outsourcing cybersecurity today. There was a move inside. In banks, you'll find highly sensitive banks often have their own teams and things like that, but they even outsource lots of those pieces. When you move into what happens with the technology that we're building internally, there's just about every different channel in the cybersecurity space is a customer, from other technologies, licensing as part of other solutions, licensing to other managed detection and response companies, and to enterprise direct, because they can upskill their teams with a virtual agent, AIGENT. They can upskill their teams, and instead of replacing humans, if you think about a typical MSP, they're doing your managed network and managing your Office 365. If they have these virtual agent technologies, they can now start to manage the tool sets of cybersecurity. Instead of, if you look at a typical SOC operation, it's a $1.5 million investment just to cover the bare minimum number of shifts over 24/7, 365, with a minimum of $1.5 million in human cost. If they can do that with a virtual agent for a couple thousand dollars a month each, it's a massive opportunity. There's estimated to be something in the neighborhood of 200,000 of those MSPs in the U.S. Enterprise customers can do it themselves, and they can expand into the IT realm very easily. IT is actually easier than security.
So really the sale is, it's an ROI sale, because basically companies are having to spend on this, if I'm understanding it correctly. They're having to solve for it today, but the way they're doing it is with people, it's not very efficient, and this offers an opportunity for a new solution that's coming in. So the problem is out there, it's trying to be solved today, but you guys are coming in with an alternative solution that obviously you've identified as a much lower cost solution to solve for the security.
And scalable and more effective at the same time. And it's by orders of magnitude. If you look at our initial testing on this, and we expect the actual returns to be far greater, it costs us about 30 cents worth of tokens to handle one incident. That 30 cents at 120,000 incidents in a month, and we're not nearly at that. And I'm talking incidents that would be viewed by an analyst. A lot of things, 500,000 plus today, anywhere between 500,000 and a million incidents a month run through the system that get handled automatically through either the tools or automation today. Problem with automation is it breaks. It's kind of a failed promise. It was seen as the savior of the industry a couple of years ago, but everybody's moving past it into agentic. So when you look at that 30 cents, $36,000 a month, something like that, right? The same amount of human capital required to handle that would be about 340 plus. That's based on only 5 minutes per incident. We know that it takes between 5 and 20. And as Bobby talked about initially, when you bring the threat intel feeds in and the fact that we're continuously learning off our customers and the humans, because we own the data not just as it's been processed through the tools, but up to and including what the humans did with it. So all those decisions are ranked. Now when we bring in the live version of the product called the Oracle and the virtual agent, when it's making a decision, the humans will either validate it, because it's no longer looking at raw data effective next week for us. What they're looking at is a summary of what the Oracle saw. They see the data they see a summary of that data, anomalies detected, a rationale for what it thinks they are, and suggestions on what the remediation does. And then we give them the opportunity to say, I agree or I disagree. They can move quickly to the raw logs if that's what they want to do and do their own analysis of it. And we'll also be doing side-by-side. We'll be doing random sampling to make sure on any decision that was agreed with, we'll be pulling those aside so we can continue to score the model and check effectiveness on that. But they will be able to do that. And then instead of having to do the next step, it will authorize it to take the next step, which could be to quarantine something, kill something, or just let it go. Right? You could say this looks totally benign. So just do nothing. Those are the things. Every time that decision is made, that's going from the data lake into our language model. So it starts with an open source model, but every single minute it becomes proprietary as we're adding our judgment back into it. There are other companies trying to do this, but they don't have the underlying managed detect and response business feeding it a terabyte of data a day. to educate them all.
It's only as good as the data that it can learn off of. Right.
Right. And they come to us asking us if we'll use their product for free, which sets off the light bulb. But this isn't rocket science to go build these agents, but you have to have the modeling and all that. When you look at what this means, it means that we'll get cost advantages for our customers day to day, additional revenue stream, because that data is also then piped back into the threat intel feed. And as we continue to scale out, you know, it positions us well to take unprofitable businesses that would be ripe for acquisition and make them profitable immediately, and for us to scale outsized returns on EBITDA in the managed detection response business at a fraction. To go to a 22% EBITDA on revenue, we look at what the agentic AI cuts our need by from about a 26 million run rate to less than 10.
How often does it have to learn something new? Maybe a naive question, but
every second.
It's constantly being attacked, right?
So when you look at what's happening in the world today, this isn't an option. Like, having a solution like this is no longer optional. I'm not gonna. We use name brand Magic Quadrant products today. We're moving into a pretty significant world where we'll be doing a lot with Elastic as the underpinnings of what we do, because Elastic is built for connectivity. Amazing, amazing organization. But more importantly, will allow us to apply our innovative solutions on top of it quickly and easily, and manage the data better, which is the new oil, right? When you look at what's happening, adversaries are more well-funded than any of the businesses in America. Every business in America, cybersecurity budget is being squeezed right now. It's a constant strain. But we're seeing polymorphic attacks that evade publicly traded, well-known endpoint and detections that say they never miss, right? That's not true. Everybody misses, because nobody's covering every part of the attack surface. We will see a file when, if you take, for example, endpoint detection, everybody understands. If you don't understand, it's like antivirus, but way more complicated. The adversaries read what your endpoint is doing and react and respond to it now. And they're doing it, we'll see it in seconds. Quarantine and kill one device, we'll see it come back as a new file name and potentially even a new file hash with the same payload in it in seconds. The human didn't do that. You can buy ransomware as a service. You can go out and subscribe to ransomware as a service. And as they continue to find new techniques, new ways to get in, it's built into the tool you're using to attack business. Criminals do that because it's safer than being the hacker and doing the ransoming. They just build the software to do it, and they get subscription. It's a massive industry.
Battle of AI on both sides is what it's going to
end. Absolutely, and businesses are losing, because as of now, you cannot do offensive. Like, it's not a secret where these actors are at. Our threat intel feed can tell you what IPs they're using, and it's like playing whack-a-mole. You can't go out and zap them. Only the government can go out and do the things they do. And they actively do. Just like when they stole the Bitcoin back a couple of years ago, when that was thought that was unheard of or impossible. Right? They took it right out of their wallet.
The downside point is they're getting smarter. They're using these tools. So guess what? We have to use these tools to defend.
One of the interesting things, I think, from an investment thesis standpoint, is investors trying to understand, and they're getting this, that the value is going to lie in those who have data sets that are useful, right? So if I'm understanding it correctly, you grow, the more you're involved, the bigger you get, the better your data set gets, the smarter your AI gets, the more things you can see. So it becomes one of these issues. And the reason I bring this up is for competitive differentiation. How do you protect your positioning? But really, I hate to call it first mover. It's not really first mover, but those, the one that's out there that gets the biggest data set that accumulates this is going to maintain the lead, simply because you have a smarter AI agent working on your side than other people do because of the data set, right?
Yes, it's very important. The data is important, and really the investment thesis is that. Yeah. It's the data, not necessarily first mover advantage, but it's also how we leverage that data into providing the service into providing the next service, into being able to scale in a very high, with a high incremental profit margin is really what it boils down to on the business side.
So anybody has any, have any questions? We've got a couple of minutes left, or I have one more.
The cybersecurity business is all multi-year recurring revenue. It's all done through channel partners, so we can keep a relatively lean sales team. Because as the agentic AI proves out, the reality is it'll be much more efficient and effective from a growth and time to market perspective. It'll be a lot easier to go inorganic and take businesses that didn't accomplish scale, set out to do some things, didn't accomplish scale. Again, our agents aren't specific to a tool. They're cybersecurity focused, doing solving the human problem. So we'll be able to integrate those companies quickly. We'll be able to take what was unprofitable revenue and make it not just profitable, but outsized relative to our peers. We're not interested. We have none of our revenue today is advisory or one-time pieces of it. We have partners who do that. We contract that out. We want them to pull through our managed services behind. Average revenue per partner is well over $1,000, and we're targeting partners that are going forward a minimum of five-figure, ideally, and that's monthly recurring. And we have contracts. We have single contracts that are north of $100,000 a year. We have six of those current. So that'll be a metric that we'll continue to focus on. Additional revenue streams as we get the agents rolled out, there will be additional monetization of those agents. There's also subscriptions to the threat intel feed, which we'll be focusing on growth of those revenues as well.
So if you were to explain to an investor where you are in your life cycle, right, and or in the evolution of the business, in different ways to describe it, but I'll leave it up to you. How would you position that to an investor? If you want to say first inning, second inning, where you are, whatever analogy you want to use.
You're still in batting practice. That's the thing, is it's not necessarily from a business standpoint. Paygo is much further along than it was 3 months ago, right? Because of the transaction that we've just done. And so we've gone from, under six figures in revenue to well into the multi-seven figures. But in the grand scheme of things, where we're at is AI is so young. This thing could go a lot of different directions. But I think we are very well positioned to A, start making money, right? B, as Mark alluded to, start acquiring revenue and turning their lack of profitability into profitability because of the technology that we have in-house. And then next we can turn into other ways to monetize the assets that we have, whether it be the threat intelligence or whether it be the virtual agent, and monetize those through licensing models.
Last question is, how do you scale in your business? Let's say all of a sudden you had 1,000 new customers next month. What has to happen on your end?
Yeah, so we do that every day. I mean, so the last question is a little bit complicated because we have businesses at different stages.
Sure.
In the cybersecurity business, the transaction took a business that was roughly 5 or 6 years old, so it was a mature business, just shy of critical mass. We will hit critical mass and blow through. As Bobby said, we feel like we're positioned to have that business cash flowing and profitable in the fourth quarter, first quarter at the very latest, based on pipeline and how we look at how our cost models are changing very significantly, literally week to week at this point. It's a massive swing. Each new dollar of revenue is more profitable than the last, right? In terms of onboarding, when we bring in a partner, we're used to bringing in 50 or 60 customers. So because of our channel model, we're not interested in a partner signing on and giving us a customer or selling transactionally. We have some partners to do that, but they're selling high-end enterprise, and we'll bring on a customer that's a $10,000 or $20,000 a month contract. individually, when we're dealing with MSPs, they typically have between 10 and 50 individual clients. We'll bring them all on, bring in a suite of products. More importantly, we're positioning them to sell better into a solution set as opposed to individual. So we're bringing them on, and then it's processes, procedures. Today, a lot of that relies on automation. Going forward, a lot of what is I'll call static automation, the old way of doing it, is to build a very elaborate 1,000-step playbook that mimics what a human does, but it's interacting with 20 different systems. If any one of those links breaks, the whole process breaks down. Going forward, the agents can do those same processes without it being static. They know the tools, they know what the process looks like, they make their calls, and they are literally self-healing because they're just making API calls, and they're able to adjust when they know something is broken, to hand it to another agent to fix the work. That's that crazy. So we can onboard thousands of customers. As our price point, it's the craziest scenario and the greatest scenario for our partners. Our cost structures continue to decrease. Our price point can come down while our margins increase because we also have alternate monetization streams. Again, the more data, the better, right? So we want to bring in 100 customers here, 100 customers there. As we look at the end of Q2 and Q3, as we've just gotten through the transaction, have been all about integrating, blocking, and tackling, spinning the herd as far as partners go, making sure that we're only bringing across the partners that we want, the customers that we want. We've actually shed any unprofitable customers. Revenue for the sake of revenue is not a good thing in our business because it creates noise and problems and could impact other customers. So now, as we look at first quarter, it's growth organically. What's the inorganic track? We can go out and instead of integrating customers 1,000 at a time, it's integrating the business, which we have all the foundation. Like we have all the systems in place to do so from quote to cash.
I was going to say, it's really the incremental EBITDA margin. Once we get past that cash flow neutrality is around 40 to 50%. I mean, so it's substantial. It's once we hit there, and again, with everything that we're looking at, everything we're seeing, again, with the transition that's occurred, we see cash flow neutrality, like you said, Q1 at the latest. I mean, I see it on a monthly basis, monthly run rate basis.
And as one of the investors' favorite words, which is reoccurring. So
everything's reoccurring, yeah.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Very interesting. Thank you.